The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and we haven't had one of these in a long time. In fact, we haven't had one of these at all coming off a home game. They lost yesterday. There's a billion reasons for it.
Yep.
But I think ultimately they got to look in the mirror on that one, and we're going to break down every angle of it, but you got a 10-point lead in the second half. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of things went sideways. I think they got screwed a couple different spots. But 10-point lead in the second half, you got to hang on.
Yeah, ultimately it comes down to mistakes. And I think when you're playing better teams, you can't make those mistakes. Self-inflicted wounds, you know, muffing the punt and giving it to them in your territory.
Let's start there, because I didn't get to see you till after the game, and we both had a million things going on. When you see two muffed punts,
yeah,
like how much does that like hurt your soul? But knowing how you should do it and then seeing what happened.
Well, the thing, I actually, Santana and I have talked over the last few weeks. We've seen a couple bobbles.
Yeah, man.
But cut. And it's like, it's trying to catch it so high, it's hitting the pad. And that thing can bounce different ways off that pad depending on the angle that the ball is coming. Left-footed punter also puts a different spin on the ball, although Tress is a left-footed punter.
Dude, you know? Like half the league is left-footed
punter. Yeah, but the thing about it, like, it puts a different little spin on it.
Yeah.
And if it catches you on the shoulder pad, it jumps a different way. The ultimate thing for me, what I saw, is that you're fair catching. The one thing everybody does is relax. You know what I mean? Everybody relaxes when they're about to fair catch. At that point is when you got to focus more and you got to look the ball in. You get what I'm saying? And you can see it was like a look, boom, out. The first one, also, same thing. We were able to get that one back, but we weren't able to get the second one back.
Yeah, it was just, this is not a new thing. It's a new thing that they lost one, but he has made some questionable decisions both in where he fields punts, inside his own five at certain times, and then how he actually catches them. And OZ has been really good for this team all year. Like, he's been a way better kind of slot weapon than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
This is not a condemnation on Zacchaeus, the player, but I think you might have to make a decision at punt return.
Well, I think the ultimate thing is just him having his confidence in it. And like the thing about, you say, catching him inside the five and the five, today,
that's players, more common.
Players catch it inside the five, the eight. Like, you watch guys line up. They line up on the 8-yard line, 7-yard line, instead of lining up on the 10 like we used to do back in the day. And
heels on the 10,
if you have
exists.
To move forward, you know I can catch it. If you have to move back, you normally thought about fair catching. But also, one thing I don't think anybody in the public ever know, the coach is telling you depending on hang time. So that player is calculating hang time in his mind. So if I see a ball come out and I see the spiral, the nose, and it turns over, that's normally one that's going to come down a little quicker. You normally just think I can take a chance here. But if that thing hangs up a little bit, better start waving your hands.
So here's my thing. Yesterday, obviously, special teams mattered throughout this game. Jeff sent us the link, B, because Lord knows what these computers are doing.
Right.
I mean to our laptop. I have it open on my laptop. Special teams made a big impact right off the top in this game, both for Washington with two muff punts, then the Steelers try the fake punt. Washington was able to take advantage of the kid, James Pierre, just dropped it. It was, I don't know if that was the play call the fake punt or if they checked to it. Because if you notice, the gunner that was out on the edge with James Pierre came in for punt block.
Yeah.
And it seemed like if that was a check they had predetermined, is really, really good coaching, and the dude just dropped it.
They had a check, and you could tell they saw something on film. And if you go back, we do that a lot, where we'll creep in early, and then the other guy comes over to block him. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, they saw it. Now, he dropped it because he's running, he's wide ass open, and the ball is behind him. He has to stop and reach back. If they just put that thing up in his chest, he catches it, he's probably going for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, it's an up-back throwing it, right? So I'm not mad about the throw. The dude's just got to catch it. But whatever, it's a great break for Washington. And unfortunately, what we saw yesterday is when they got great breaks, they did not take advantage. They did early on. They're able to get that touchdown. Specific to the punt stuff, B, maybe you got to check on Crowder. I don't know who you can turn to besides Zaccheaus, because if you go back and look at punt, when they were really going through a lot of punt work in training camp, you saw guys, Noah I, Jahan Dotson, Emmanuel Forbes, like these other guys who are catching a lot of punts.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get Crowder healthy, maybe that's your answer. But Dotson's gone. You can't put Forbes back there. He'll get broken in half. Noah I's kind of too important for you at this point as a corner. So he muffs the first, they get it back. Muffs the second, Pittsburgh gets it. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they caught another punt in that game. It seemed like it was a fire call every time, and they just scattered.
Yeah, but I think
they had Zaccheaus back there.
But I think he can handle it. He just has to work on his fundamentals just a little bit. You know, hell, I've had games where I muffed them twice. Came back and returned one to set up the game-winning field goal. It's just anything
else.
So
you stick with him?
Yeah, because when he catches it, he knows how to run the ball. But I think yesterday after that first muff, you know, like anything, if you're a quarterback, you throw an interception on your first play, or a receiver, you drop it. That eats at you the rest of the round. And I think that the second one was the reason for the second was the first one, where he never got it out of his head. He allowed it to fester too long.
I think for me, Eckler's been so good on the kick returns. Eckler's averaging 31 yards per kick return. Yeah. I think Eckler would be a real weapon in the punt return game. You got Robinson back.
But the thing of it, kick return, punt return is totally different. Like, kick return, end over end, everybody catch that. And punt return, 10 kicks, all 10 of them are different. So do we know if Eckler is very effective catching punts?
I don't know. That's a fair question.
That's what you got to be concerned about, because it's not necessarily how much he runs. There's less ground on punt return.
Sure.
And the decision-making is more important than anything.
That's where I trust him, though, is the decision-making. But it's a different skill set. I just looked it up. He had never really returned kicks until this year and has never returned punts.
Well, the kicks this year, running backs with vision, they are more effective than all the other
people. Because you don't have the guys running down the field.
Well, the thing of it, it looks like an offensive play.
Right.
You know? And I think when you watch Eckler, he plants and goes. You watch a lot of defensive backs and receivers, they pity-pat. And all the time you pity-pat, you're not going forward, I'm getting closer.
Sure.
So I close down the gaps in between you. Eckler is hitting that thing full speed. I love how he plays it.
He's playing well. I think my concern with the OZ punt return situation is that yesterday was kind of the culmination of a lot of, oh, man, does he have that? And every time previous to yesterday, it pretty much had broken the Commander's way.
Yeah.
Like the ball bounced the right way, and then yesterday it didn't. I don't know that the balls – you can always count on the ball bouncing your way. But you and I were talking about this before we came on the air. Looking at yesterday's game, there are a million plays you can point to. I think the spot at the end was bad. I think BSJ's coverage at the end was bad. I think there's a lot of singular plays that occurred that swung this game.
Yeah.
And we'll go through it. We'll open the phones. Like, we'll do all of it, right? But, B, I look at very late in the third quarter, they get good pressure on Russ. He basically just chucks it out there. Jeremy Chinn pulls it in for an interception.
Yeah.
Washington starts with the ball at their 26. At this point, they still have, I believe, a three-point lead.
Uh-huh.
And it's a three and out. Like, Yeah. You get an interception, and you're unable to do really anything with it.
They weren't effective on first downs and second downs, so they end up third and long a lot yesterday.
They have been so efficient all year, staying ahead of the sticks,
yeah.
And then you get a really good defense. Pittsburgh deserves a lot of credit because they played really well.
You don't want to have third and long against them.
No. This was a really bad time for their O-line to be so banged up.
Yeah.
And Trent Scott played probably better than expected, but the problems in the interior where Biadasz was just super hurt. I saw him in the locker room afterwards. That guy played through a lot. I think all those offensive linemen at this stage are playing through a lot. But it was a rough time to be banged up. It was a rough time to not have Robinson because they could not run the ball. You know,
no.
Their run game was ineffective. But, B, you go.
Part of my key to the game, you got to run. If you run the ball effectively, you beat them.
Sure.
If they had a nice running game yesterday, that game is won easily.
B, they get the ball late third, four plays, 12 yards, punt, right? Then they're able, I mean, it's a damn hell of a play that Quan Martin, Jeremy Chin, like all these guys are in on to grab the fumble at the Steelers basically like 1 yard line, right?
They had,
at the goal.
They had a fumble earlier that should have been called the fumble.
They didn't challenge that.
I don't know why, but it was a damn fumble. First, this is what I am with the refs, though. You watch the running back with the ball, so everybody's focused on him. The running back, you can see the running back hands come down, and the ball's gone. When that whistle was starting to blow, Newton was standing up with the football.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they can automatically consider him down when he was on top of people anyway. So it should have probably been, I think it said somebody didn't have the proper angle. But
that's what I thought because it was such a dog pile in there that if you challenge it, are you going to get a definitive review? I just wonder if his leg,
if
his
knee
was down or
something. If you look at the replay, that thing was out.
I didn't find that one as egregious as the spot at the end. But regardless, both.
Once they made it, I didn't think they were going to change it.
It's hard to I agree. It's
but
hard
you
to
can see him
himself.
Catch the ball, and then he's being touched while he's catching it. Then he takes a step and turns, and they put the ball back to where the step and turn instead of where he caught the ball was being touched already.
But, Brian, there are so many singular plays, undoubtedly. But you get a fumble and a pick with a lead in the second half of an NFL game, and off of those turnovers, the game's all about, what did Joe Witt and DQ always say, the ball is life,
We
got to win the turnover battle. They did. Your offense is able to generate off of two turnovers, seven plays and 16 yards, and you punt on both possessions.
Offense.
Like,
was,
that's just, you're not going to win.
They weren't on yesterday, but I can, I think Jaden early in the game, well, he was a little off. But there are some passes, and I've heard people say, well, he had to be there early. If you look at those pass plays early, it's two of them. One to Luke, it went through Luke's hand before the guy ever touched the ball. You go back and check it out. And then the one to Noah Brown, that ball was all in Noah's chest.
Bro,
and I understand you got beat.
I think there were five or six drops yesterday.
Come back to the Miami in the end zone.
That's terrible.
Zach Ertz, the one he just drops. And so it was a lot of drops, but Jaden wasn't on early.
No.
Then he started to put the ball where he normally put him, and balls are being dropped. And Logan brought something up, and he's absolutely right. It was a little wet and colder. That ball it feels harder and slicker at this time of the year. So, you know, because all week it had been what? Warm. And then you come to that game, and it's one of those different style games. That thing will play. You know, the last play, though, that play for the touchdown to Mike, I don't know how you sit inside and never get any hands on that dude. Because Russ just threw it up.
Russ threw it to a spot. It was a great pass, but I agree with you there. I think Jaden was just that, even on passes that were caught, like Jaden usually puts them in perfect spots.
Yeah.
And yesterday on some of the caught passes, they were on your front shoulder instead of back shoulder or whatever it would be that limited guys' ability to maybe get some yardage after. I thought one tough miss was McCaffrey running what looked like a deep post when they were deep in their own territory, and he was wide open. And Jaden just needs a hair more air,
yeah.
a hair more air under that ball to let Luke run out from it. I think Jaden got hit a bunch yesterday, and you wonder how that impacted that he's already playing through this crazy rib injury. The weather, I think, is a real thing. This is a dude that's from Southern California, played in Arizona, played in LSU. I can't imagine, and this is something he's going to have to figure out because there's way more weather coming.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I don't think the weather truly affected him. I'm talking about when that ball hits your hand as a receiver, and it's new, what you're used to, that same speed, in this weather it seems slicker and harder.
For me, Washington yesterday, throughout this first stretch of the season, right, Jaden has pretty much been great. Maybe not week one against Tampa, but I think that's pretty understandable. His first NFL game, and there's blitzing coming from everywhere. But, like, Jaden has been great. And the team has been somewhere close to that level or pretty good, and then maybe he has elevated them, right? Yesterday was a time where the team needed to elevate because Jaden wasn't great yesterday. He was good. He was fine. He wasn't great.
But that's the
And the team didn't elevate.
Yeah, the team, I mean, that's why this – it's never one person's fault for anything. And what we said in the last few weeks was the defense has started to play better. And you can look at them like kind of like working and pulling off of each other. I think the exact same thing has to happen to, like, when I put a ball that may not be in the spot I would normally put it, which I make it easy for the receiver. Now the receiver got to make the tough catch. You know, that catch that 14 caught early in the game where he was stretched out.
Pickens. He's a hell of a
player. That ball was put in a bad spot, but he made it look good. You know what I mean? So you have to be able to do those things sometimes. But with all that being said, and this is nothing about a moral victory, they lost by 1 point. It's not like they got destroyed. And I know people like to sit up there and go, oh, but there were bad teams that beat very good teams this year so far. Awful teams that beat good teams.
Right. I mean, they're 7-3. The game Thursday night is, I think everybody understands, has been more important for playoffs and standings and all of that stuff. It's just, you can't let one game, you know, kind of get to you. But think about some of these sequences. So they get the pick from Chin, right? And it's 1st and 10. Jaden's able to hit Terry for the big gainer.
Yeah.
And then they just go backwards. It's McNichols on 1st and 10, 6-yard gain. Daniels takes a sack on 2nd and 4. And then the first play of the fourth quarter is a throw to De'Ami Brown for negative 11.
Yeah.
Like that was the QB throwback. You know what I mean?
We tried. And the thing of it, and that's the difference between a quarterback and a receiver. When you're a passer, you could have slung that thing out of bounds.
Right.
Because he was outside the pocket, could have slung it out of bounds, but he doesn't think that way. You know what I'm saying? Even in practice, when you work on it, you never tell the running back, the receiver, if nothing is there, you can throw it out of bounds. You're a passer at that point. You know what I'm saying? And you can see that. And he tried to make too much out of it, got tackled for a big loss.
Big loss.
But I think that on 1st and 2nd down, and you come back to the injuries and the, I guess, the ineffectiveness of the offense, not completely how they used to be. They were beating us to the punch, and they seemed to understand our game plan and our thought process early in the downs.
Here's my thing: when you just need points, when you have a lead, and I think they've been really good all year. So I'm not trying to like start nitpicking too much, right? But it's 2nd and 4 to start the fourth quarter. Then Jaden takes that sack, and you've got the ball at midfield. I don't hate running the draw right there and just getting back into field position rather than trying to maybe chase something and get the home run play. There's a million ways you can chop this thing up. Ultimately, they weren't good enough. Pittsburgh was. Pittsburgh is a playoff-tested team with a head coach that seems to win these games. I do think there's a lot that Washington can win from that, can learn from that thing yesterday. I think, unfortunately, though, they got a ton of injuries, and Philly is red hot. One of the biggest plays yesterday came damn near the end of the game. The referee's spot on Zach Ertz on 4th down. Let's discuss that. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
B. Mitch and Finley.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
106.7 The Fan, reacting to the Commanders' loss yesterday, 28-27 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That loss does move Washington out of first place in the division, but they will have a chance to get right back to it. Thursday night, they play the Eagles. Eagles are now 7-2, winners of, I believe, 5 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Washington 7-3. Crazy. The Commanders, after that loss, go from the 2 seed in the NFC all the way down to the 6 because the Vikings are still 7-2. Eventually, the differences in games is going to get sorted out once everybody has a bye. Washington doesn't get their bye for, amazingly, 3 more weeks. But Philly is surging. Washington offensively doesn't look like they did a month ago, but I think you get some guys back healthy and some things could turn around there. Brian, 2 plays at the very end of this game.
Mm-hmm.
One was accurately called and just unfortunate. I think Johnny Newton's been a really good rookie for this team. But like,
hey, jump.
It was
still eating him at the end of the game. He did have tears in his eyes. You could tell it means something to him, and he didn't want to be that guy, but he was trying to get a jump.
It's just crazy because you know that's what the whole point of Pittsburgh coming back out there is, trying to make you jump.
Hey.
And you just hope that's a learning experience.
Every player that has been around on the sideline is probably saying, don't jump.
Right.
And he went out. He was just excited. Tried to get that jump off him, and you know it's going to be a hard count. You know it.
Yeah. It was that's just a really tough way for that game to end.
Yeah.
But one play that I don't think there's any sort of definition on is the spot they gave Zach Ertz at the end of the game. It's 4th and 9, I believe, and Ertz has to get to the 41. Sure, looks like he got to the 41. I'm just reading here. It was 4th and 9 from the 50. This is from the official game book. Jaden Daniels pass short middle to Zach Ertz to pit 42 for 8 yards. The replay official reviewed the short of the line to gain ruling, and the play was upheld. The ruling on the field stands. I think it was Grant last night had this video of it that I retweeted. I don't see how they didn't at least give him the 41. Unless they're saying that his knee was down, like nobody touched him, and he's at the 41. I found that spot really, really difficult to reconcile.
Yeah.
Did you?
Where the ball hits him in the chest, he has the first down.
Right.
And where his knee touched, if they're saying he wasn't down until that knee touched, because they're touching him at that moment, then that's a little short of it. But I felt when he had the ball in his hand, because you know, if you catch the ball, and a player hits you and knocks you back, you get,
the forward progress. Right.
So I believe forward progress gave him the first down.
I just, that call to me, I was not surprised once they made the ruling that it did not get overturned. I don't think refs want to overturn something in that kind of scenario.
They should anyway.
It was just, I don't think there was necessarily definitive video evidence, whatever that, irrefutable, whatever the word is they search for. That, to me, was really, really tough to make that call. And I think it was incorrect. And we brought this up when, remember a couple weeks ago, I think it was Monday night game, when there was the obvious face mask by the Rams defender on Sam Darnold in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And they didn't call it. Yeah. And there's no guarantee that if they call that, the Vikings come back to win, right? Let's say they give Ertz the correct spot. And they have first and 10 from whatever that would have been, the 41, right? Like, there's no guarantee that they go on to win the game. I'm not saying that.
There's a way better chance than what they had in any other situation.
Sure. And I just, that's a really tough way for a really tight ball game to come down to the wire. But when you look at good teams, most of the time, that's what happens. They come down to the absolute last minute.
A few undefeated calls, a few plays. How it happened when they played Harvard yesterday and still won the game.
Right.
Kansas City, they did not play well at all, but they won the game in the end.
Let's check in with the boys in the aquarium. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Landini.
You know, I could even tolerate on that play them ruling that Ertz was short because it was kind of close, but that's not what they did. They took the ball where it was down, and then they backed it up an entire yard and said that's the spot. That was one of the more ridiculous things I've ever seen.
It nowhere seems like the ball got spotted where he caught it.
No.
And typically, when you lose your forward progress, is because you've gotten to a spot, and then you start to run backwards or run sideways, and you are making a cognizant decision to move backwards to try to gain more yardage.
Yeah.
That is not the case. He caught it and went down and then got blasted.
They didn't give him forward progress. They didn't give him the spot where he caught the ball. They didn't give him the spot where he was down. They took the ball where it should have been spotted, and then they backed it up a full yard and said, that's the spot.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Completely and totally inaccurate.
There's a number of singular plays that I think were perhaps a hose job. B, you seem quite agitated by the Newton fumble where he came out of the pile with the ball that wasn't.
That.
But I thought that spot in that moment was just ridiculous.
I think the Newton fumble recovery that was not called a fumble recovery is as blatant as any play yesterday.
If they had ruled Ertz short, I could have accepted it because it's a tough play. It was really close, but they didn't do that. It was just blatant incompetence. They just made up a spot and said that's where it was. We all saw that it was completely bogus. We all know that's not where the ball should have been. And then they looked at it on replay, and they saw that it shouldn't be there, and they decided to go with it anyway. It was ridiculous, and it was absurd.
Landfill, not messing around. I don't think you're wrong. I thought that was specifically very egregious. And when you consider the time and place of the decision, It is really difficult. Jeffrey, what'd you think of yesterday's ball game? I saw that lady dancing at your DJ booth. Jeff got, I don't know how many fans Jeff's got, but he definitely has one. This lady was dancing. Nobody else was there. This lady was grooving.
Yeah, she did not go into the game till kickoff.
Damn, I saw you at like 10:45, 11.
Yeah, man. Great time. But, just a lot of missed opportunities yesterday. That's what separate good teams from great teams. And granted, it's still early. We're way ahead of schedule for this rebuild season that we're supposed to be in. You know, I'm not mad that we lost to a better team. I'm just mad at how we lost. You know, because it was there for us to take, and we just gotta cut. We gotta cut down on the mental errors and mistakes. And One thing, when I played middle school basketball, my coach, he always said, we had to wear shirts. It was hilarious because we was the joke of the school. But on the back of the shirt, it said, it's the little things. And that's what made that game yesterday.
Yes. I can understand a joke.
Yeah, it was funny. But it's the little things that the reason why we lost that game yesterday. Totally. And it's fine. You know, I'm not for moral victories. But even though we took an L yesterday, I just sat back and looked at the teams that we lost to. We lost to the Bucks. We lost to the Ravens. We lost to the Steelers, right?
We beat everybody else.
Yeah, that we were supposed to handle. But
sounds awful moral victory-ish.
But the thing is, I use it as a measuring stick because it's like, dude, we were plays and botched calls away from beating teams that before the season, before we had this momentum, nobody had us even being in competition with those teams.
I think when you look at it, it's not a moral victory. It's just what you can learn from things.
I agree. And I think that's fair.
I think it's a learning process. And I've said this on this show many a time. You have to learn how to win in this league. And sometimes—
Yesterday should have been a lesson.
Yeah. I mean, like you have to listen. Everybody is human. And when things are going good for you, you know what you start doing? You start feeling good about yourself. Well, every once in a while, I just say, hey, man, I need to focus a little bit more.
Well, let's be real. That Ravens game, the Ravens were in control of that the whole time.
Yeah, they were.
They were able to kind of fight back and cut it to a touchdown and fight back and cut it to a touchdown, but the Ravens were in control. Yesterday, Washington had control.
Totally.
And they ceded it. Like, they gave it away.
Gave it up.
I'm not saying they gave away the game, but they gave away control of that
game. They gave too many opportunities to a team that had a lot of veteran players and very good players. They gave them too many opportunities in a game that you wasn't playing good in and thinking that you're going to just win it.
Two big things they got to figure out by Thursday night because Philly is on fire. And their pass game is really, really good. And they got some studs. What's up with Lattimore? And how do they get back to running the ball well? That's what they've got to figure out. Here's what you've got to figure out. This time of year, you get warm days and chilly nights. You know what that means. It's time to schedule a $99 heating and cooling check with the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf. I had Crop out at the house last week. They fixed my daughter's sink. They do great work, and if you call them right now for just $99, an expert Crop Metcalf five-star technician will check both your home's heating and cooling system for one low price. Do what I did. Call today for peace of mind no matter what tomorrow's weather brings. Or if your five-year-old sprays a whole tube of toothpaste down the sink, call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. And remember, Crop Metcalf is the one with five stars. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7, the Fan. Commanders lost yesterday, fell to 7-3. Different feeling. They lost week one against Tampa. I think a lot of people, first time getting your feet wet, lost on the road to the Ravens. What was that, week six, I think?
Yeah.
Baltimore is better. Yesterday, one, is their first loss at home on the season. That home field advantage has been a real thing. Two, whether Pittsburgh came back and took it or Washington gave it away, some combination of the two, this one feels different. This one feels like they had it and they lost it, and it hits different.
Yeah, I mean, you got a 10-point lead. And I think at that point, you felt that they were going to continue as they've been. And they were given opportunities by the defense, and they did not capitalize.
You had a 10-point lead, and they turned it over twice in the second half.
Yeah.
Haven't checked in on the stream yet. Shout out to everybody on the stream, youtube.com/@1067. You know who was first to say good morning?
Who's that?
Cairo Atos. Hope I'm saying that right.
Probably
K-H-A-I-R-O. A-E-T-O-S. Cairo. Good morning, everybody in the stream. Hope you're doing well. All right, B. Lattimore, they trade for him. They give up a day two pick. They need him, dude.
They need him. I think if he's healthy, he goes. If he's not, he can't force it. Because I think right now, I was thinking about this driving in.
Speed guy, soft tissue, never force
it. When we were talking a while ago what we felt this team would do, the most anybody said they would win would be 10 games. And I'm not talking about the people that called in and saying 14-3 and 16 and all that. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about when we were sitting here having these conversations, I think it was a 7, a 9, 10 was the most. They're at 7-3 right now.
Yep.
They have 7 games left. I think they have lived up to expectations.
I think they've surpassed them.
But I'm saying, for the people that said seven games, you lived up to it at that point. You probably passed those. People that said 10, they still got more to do. But ultimately, along the way, our expectations changed because they showed you something. So in essence, what you're saying is true. They have passed expectations. So I'm thinking, like, we can't start thinking that they got to force things at this point. Like, if Lattimore is ready to go, he goes on Thursday.
Sure.
If he's not, you can't play him. Every decision has to be made based off of, listen, yes, if things happen this year, more icing on the cake. Nobody expected nothing to happen this year.
7-3 right now. Looking at the schedule, I got four games, at least three, where they're going to be favored. Being favored doesn't matter. Ask Atlanta yesterday. But they're going to be favored at home against Dallas, at home against Tennessee, and probably on the road in New Orleans, and then maybe on the road in Dallas week 18. Who knows what week 18 could look like? There's a billion scenarios, right? So you're too far away to guess at what Sunday, January 5th will hold. But specific to your point about getting to 10,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just Dallas, Tennessee, New Orleans should be 10. And you don't want to count them, that's fine. I'm just telling you the reality of the situation. I'm curious, B, your bigger concern, the pass defense or the inability to run the football?
I think inability to run the football is more to me because I think when we're running the ball effectively, we keep teams off balance. When we're running the ball effectively, we now have an advantage when we start getting on the edges with our pass game and things of that nature. The offense is far more explosive when we're running the ball. So if we can run it and put points on the board, what we do for our defense, we keep them off the field sometimes. They're on the field fresh. And every game I've seen, a defense gets a stop. It gives us a way to go out there and pile up, double up on our scores. And it gets us in a position now to where other teams get one-dimensional against us, and we are now still two-dimensional against them. So I think the offense, when it's cooking, this team is far better as an overall football team.
I think the efficiency has been so important for them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that efficiency starts with, staying ahead of the chains. And yesterday they got away from it, and you got a really good pass rush on the other side. And I think it was just really problematic. Now, in two games, B-Rob has now missed three games. In two of those games, Washington had by far their lowest rushing total.
Yeah.
I think those were also against the two best teams they've played in Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Yesterday they ran for 60. Against the Ravens, they ran for 52. Every other game this season, they've gone for at least over 100, usually like one. They're averaging about 150 a game.
Okay.
What's your level of concern with B-Rob? He's now missed 3 out of 10 games. He's missed the last two.
I mean, the thing about it, I don't have a concern level because sometimes you get those knee injuries, you're going to have another type of leg injury because you're trying to protect it. But ultimately, if he gets healthy, put him on the field. If he's not, you got to run somebody else. I mean, I think, did we see C-Rod yesterday?
He was active.
I just think that sometimes, man.
He finished with 2 carries for 4 yards.
Okay. And I know when B-Rob is in there, B-Rob runs it differently. But sometimes you got to – he's more effective because he's a bigger back with more – he can beat people up a little bit.
I think Patrick Queen yesterday was really impressive, specifically with Jaden. Jaden couldn't get going. Jaden came into this game averaging 52 rush yards per game. Mm-hmm. He finished yesterday with 5.
Yeah.
And Queen – at least once, and I want to say multiple times, it seemed like he was spying him. There was a play where Jaden looked like he got to the edge, and Queen was able to match him and hold it to like a 3 or 4 yard gain, where normally that's a 7, 11, 13 yard gain. And you do have to look at the Steelers' defense and what they've built and recognize, okay, they also played a really tough opponent yesterday.
Yeah. Sure.
We got to do it. We haven't done it in a while. Blame Pie. Phone lines, Jeff, press the button, are open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Who's to blame for the loss? Could be anybody. The Zebras, the alien that Russ Wilson somehow got rid of late in the fourth quarter, or Washington themselves. Phone lines open next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.